Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, there are two errors that I've seen in the Church of Jesus Christ, and two errors with regards to the works that we're called to do in the life of the church. You realize that as Paul teaches in Titus chapter 2 and chapter 3, the church is to be a people that maintain good works. We have been called to walk in good works. We have been saved, Ephesians 2:10. To walk in good works for the glory of God. And this is a problem with many in the life of the church, falling off on one side or the other. And what happens is that men either fall into legalism or they fall into what's called antinomianism, that which is against the law. Legalism says that we are going to be saved by the things that we do. So people are looking to their works as a basis for their salvation. Well, that is an error. You are not going to be saved by what you do. And oftentimes what happens with regards to walking in good works, people throw out the baby with the bathwater. So realize the antinomian is that if we're saved completely by the work of Jesus Christ, then why do we have to do any works at all since Christ has accomplished them? That's a misunderstanding of the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit who creates in us anew, as we are called, new creations in Christ Jesus. He is conforming us, Romans chapter 8, verse 29. We are being conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. We are being made like unto Him in the way that we think and therefore in our behavior. And it's going to be seen in that way. And so you realize that it's not legalism, it's not antinomianism. It's realizing that we are saved by the work of Jesus Christ alone, but we are saved unto good works. We are saved to walk in good works. We are those that are light in the Lord, and therefore Jesus said that we are to let our light so shine among men that they might see our good deeds and praise our Father who is in heaven. And if you're not walking in good works, if you're not walking in a manner that is consistent, not perfection, but the direction. You see, the direction of the life of the believer is to submit to the word of Christ. That's what the believer does. He follows after the word of God. And that is the direction of our life. It's not going to be a perfection practically in this life. We have the perfection of Christ imputed to us. That is our position in Jesus Christ. Practically, we're working out our salvation with fear and trembling, knowing that it's God who works in us to will and to work of His good pleasure. So it's a continual growth, it's repentance, it's confession, it's turning. That's what this Christian life is, but nevertheless, it is marked distinct from the unbelieving world. It is a markedly distinct walk, contrary to those that are in darkness. Now, the difficulty with many that are professing to be Christians who are in the church is that they say that they're in the light, but they walk in darkness. That's a metaphor. Walking in darkness. Walking according to the works of the flesh. Galatians 5:19. They are not walking in the fruit of the Spirit. They are walking according to the flesh. Their own fleshly mind. That is the way that they think. They have not been renewed, even though they may be members of the church, yet they are not born of the Spirit of God. And therefore, they are distorted in their view with regards to salvation in Jesus Christ. But if you are in Christ, and you see, your behavior and what you think is going to be seen in your behavior, and your behavior is going to demonstrate the condition of your heart. Does everybody understand that? The way you live your life is telltale of what's going on in your mind. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And as the Proverb 27 says, as in water face reflects face, so the heart of the man reflects the man. The man is seen in his heart by how he lives. Now, we cannot read the heart. We're not infallible in judging as God, but we are called to judge by their fruits. And their fruits pretty consistently demonstrate what kind of a tree the individual is. And as Jesus said in Luke 6, that every good tree is going to bear good fruit. Every bad tree is going to bear bad fruit. There you have the distinction in Galatians chapter 5, the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. So, James is dealing with this life of the Christian. When James talks about justification, he is using the same word, dikaiosune, the same word that the Apostle Paul uses in the book of Romans. But they are not speaking about the same thing. Paul is dealing with how a man is just before God. And it's not by your works, it's by the work of Jesus Christ alone. A man is only made just in the sight of God by believing on Jesus Christ and receiving all of his benefits. James is saying that if a man is justified by faith in Jesus Christ, then his faith is going to be justified by what he does and how he lives his life. You see, you are going to be one who is following after Christ. The disciples, mathetes, were those that followed Christ. They walked after him. They were not practically perfect. You remember the time that they were fighting and disputing on the road with themselves about who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom. Think about that. Here they are following after Jesus, arguing about who the greatest is right in front of them. But they're thinking they're going to be great in the kingdom. You have Peter, who denied Jesus 3 times, denied that he even knew him. There's not a practical perfection in this life. We all fall short in thought, word, and deed. But there's repentance, isn't there? There was repentance in the life of the disciples. Jesus restored Peter in John 21. He repented. He turned from his sin. And that's what a disciple does. That's a promise that we have that Christ has merited. That all those that the Father loves, he will bring to repentance. He will chastise them. He will chasten them and cause them to turn from their sins. So James is beginning then to deal with how we respond to the Word of God. You know the test that James is dealing with. Beginning firstly with the trials that come into our life. How do you respond to the trials says volumes about what you believe about God. Did you notice the song that we just sang, content with the lot that is given to us? We pray that God would cause us to be content with whatever lot comes into our life. Whatever the Lord has ordained for us, that we would be content in living it. Sometimes it's hard, sometimes it's difficult. But the disciple of Christ wants to please God, wants to honor God in our Christian life. So Lord, cause me to be content whether I go through suffering or trials or tribulation or not. Cause me to be content in whatever lot that you have doled out to me. The second thing that James deals with is the man's position in life, whether he is a position of exalted as a leader, as a certain position in public status, or he is a lowly individual. And he uses the analogy with regards to the owners and slaves. How do you respond to that? How do you respond to a lowly position? That says volumes about what you think about the Lord. The next thing is temptation. Where does temptation come from? What is temptation all about? Who do you blame your temptation on? When you sin, when temptation comes, who do you blame? That is telltale about what you think of the Lord and what's going on in your own heart. And now James, as we saw last Lord's Day, with a response to the Word of God. Are you one, as he says, are you one who is swift to hear the Word of God? Do you desire to hear God's Word? Do you desire to hear the Gospel? Do you desire to sit under the Word? That's what the disciples were. That's how they manifest themselves. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And it's a present tense. They keep on following me because they keep on hearing. James asked another question. Are you slow to speak? In other words, do you understand before you speak it? Many people are speaking God's word today who are not understanding what the text of Scripture says, and thereby misrepresenting the God of Scripture. So James says to be slow. Understand what the Word of God says before you communicate that to others, lest you miscommunicate and then you give a wrong understanding of who God is. We find that with Job's three friends. Job made a sacrifice for them because they misrepresented God. And then lastly, he says, with regards to wrath. This one, I think, hits a lot of people. A lot of people who are professing Christians. The word of God comes and it pierces your heart and you get angry. You get angry because the word exposes what's going on in the depths of your heart. And instead of saying that your sin has been exposed, in the mercy of God, he's exposed your sin. And instead of saying, Lord, forgive me, and repenting of your sin and turning from your sin, you get angry. And usually you get angry with the messenger. And like I said last Lord's Day, that's going nowhere for you. It's not going to keep me as a messenger just from preaching and teaching what God says in his word. You're not going to do any good for yourself being angry at God, because that's ultimately who you're angry at. The word of God is proclaimed and it's the word of God that's piercing your heart. And if you're angry at the messenger, I'm just bringing the word to you. You're angry with the Lord. Confess it for what it is and repent of it. That's the calling, is not to be those that are wrathful towards the word when it pierces your heart. Beloved, what is your responsibility on the Lord's Day? Your responsibility, and we read this in the law of God, we read this in throughout the book of Acts, you read this in Hebrews chapter 10, you have a responsibility to be faithful to gather together on the Lord's Day with the congregation, with the people in which you confess your faith before the Lord, so that you might stir them up and use your gifts among this congregation to edify the other members of the church. That's your calling. That's my responsibility. That's your responsibility as members of the congregation. Thus saith the Lord. I didn't make it up. It's God's law. It's God's calling for his people. And you know this. And when you're not faithful to do that, you are simply being disobedient to the word. And then when you're called to repentance, you get angry at the spiritual council, the elders, or the pastor. And again, that's going nowhere for you. So James says your anger and your wrath towards the word of God is that which is revealing what kind of heart you have. Whether you're convicted and you ask for forgiveness and you repent and you turn, or you seethe with anger towards God's word for convicting you of your sin. Now he gets into telling us to lay aside things, but he says to be doers of the word. Here again is a revelation of your heart. How do you respond to the word of God? When God says something, and let's just use the Lord's Day, when the Lord calls us to gather together and to be faithful in worship to him, and you do not do it, isn't that revealing of your heart? If you choose to do something other than gathering together on the Lord's Day, that is revealing of your heart. And you are called then to stop, to repent, and to be a doer of the word. To be a doer of the word is to one who hears and understands what the word says and follows by obedience to the word. Notice what James says in our text, verse 22. But be doers of the word. Being a doer of the word. One who is a producer of the word. That's what it means. In other words, the word ministers to your soul and you produce from that ministry of the word in your heart. It's seen. It's seen in the way that you're going to live your life. Doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. If you come every Lord's Day and you hear the word, and the word makes corrections in your soul and rebukes, exhorts, and that's what the word of God does. That's what Paul said in 2 Timothy 3. That the word of God is that which brings correction, admonishment to our souls. And so when you're corrected and you're admonished or you're rebuked or you're comforted, you're encouraged, however the word is working in your heart, the Spirit is applying that, it's going to be a telltale in your response to it. You are to be one who simply obeys what God says. This is what the Lord says, and you simply submit to it. You're not to be one who just simply hears and hears and hears and does nothing. You see, the Word of God is that which transforms the life. It transforms the life because it changes the mind. When the Word of God changes the mind, you think differently. So you know that you are to turn the other cheek in a personal situation where someone might slap you on the cheek. Well, let's use an analogy today if somebody says something bad to you. Do you turn and say something bad to them? They curse your name, do you curse their name? Jesus is saying personally how we respond to that is we turn the other cheek. We don't return evil for evil, but good for evil. You pray for that individual. You bless that individual with your words. You don't respond in like manner. So you know that. You know the scripture teaches. You know the scripture teaches this, that if your brother sins against you, you go to him. Just the two of you and you deal with it. If he doesn't repent, then you get one or two others, you go and you deal with it again. If you still don't repent, well, you tell it to the officers of the church to deal with it. Now you know this, beloved. And if you don't do this, you're simply, as James says, you're deceiving yourself. The deception he talks about there, it means that you've reasoned wrongly. You are miscalculating of what the scriptures teach. Because the truth transforms the life in a believer. It's a continual, habitual transformation that goes on in the life of the believer, being conformed to the image of Christ. And this is what Paul says in Romans 12, being transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we think differently, and that produces different living, a different behavior. There's consequences to what we believe. When you believe the truth, you're going to respond consistently with the truth. This is going to be habitually in the life of the believer. So James is saying, don't deceive yourself. Well, let me ask you this. When you come on the Lord's Day and you hear the word being preached and taught, is it your desire to implement that word in your life? It's right now, right? It's not being one who just simply hears, but being one who does. So are you a doer? Are you convincing yourself in this? You talking to yourself about this? That I'm not simply to be a hearer, to be a doer. I'm to talk to my family and who is in unbelief about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm to be one who bears witness, being one who is simply, really a missionary, but that's who we are. You bear witness of the truth. You evangelize. You bear witness of Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are you doing that? Are you convinced right now that you need to be one who does? Not just simply hears, but does? This is not to be saved. This is because you are the saved. If you are the saved, this is going to be a pattern of your life. James says, don't deceive yourself. I think there's many people today that are deceiving themselves. I think many people today hear the gospel and they'll hear it Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. Week after week after week. And no changes are made in their lives. They hear and they say, oh, that was nice, I like that. And they walk out and no change has been made in the life. They don't begin thinking and speaking to themselves about the truth that they just heard and how they need to make changes in their life. And they cry out to the Lord, Lord, do that work in my heart. Make me faithful. Make me consistent. Let me glorify you in living the Christian life. They don't do that. They think it's sufficient just that they showed up. And that ought to suffice to hear a good word, a good message, and walk out and being unchanged. You're deceiving yourself. You've miscalculated. James is saying you've made a gross miscalculation. You've reasoned wrongly. That's what the Greek term means. It is a wrong reasoning. You've reasoned alongside of yourself in a wrong way. You have not understood the scriptures. And so, James says, don't deceive yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, notice, they're hearers. You know, I love the passage that makes the distinction so clear in Matthew 7 about the two builders. Both heard. They both heard. You've got to plant down on the rock. You cannot build on the sand. You've got to lay it down on the rock. Because storms of life are going to come, beloved. And if you're planted upon the sand, and that's your own works, whatever you think is best, you are going to be washed away. But if you're founded on the rock, Christ Jesus, you will not be moved. You walk by faith. You walk sturdy and steady because you are upon Jesus Christ. But they both heard. And one implemented. One put it into practice. The other did not. The other, it's like we say, in one ear and out the other. I could do what I want to do. This is easier anyway. I think a lot of people do the same thing with regards to forgiveness. We are called to forgive one another even as God in Christ has forgiven us. Are you holding a grudge this morning? Do you have a grudge in your heart that you've been holding for months and months, maybe years, and have not repented, not confessed that to the Lord? We are called to forgive one another. If your brother has offended you by breaking the commandments against you, you are to go to him. You're to go to him in love. You're to go to him in concern to reconcile and be restored in your fellowship. If you are both believers, you're both united in Christ Jesus, that never changes. But we can sure hinder our fellowship. We can avoid one another like the plague because of sin in the life. Now, Jesus, or the Apostle Paul, wrote in Ephesians 4 that we are to forgive one another even as God in Christ has forgiven us. Are you doing this? Is this seen in your life? And it's these little things, beloved. It's not the one big, it's a continual, habitual 10,000 things in your life continually that happen. It's not this one big thing, it's a continual little things in daily living. That's where the Lord is working out His will in our lives from day to day, in the mundane things, as we would call them. That is how God is working it out. We're living stones. We bump up against one another. We offend one another from time to time. Get over it. Come and ask for forgiveness and deal with it and be done with it and move on in the Christian life. That's the calling for the believer. Now, are we doing this? Are we hearing it and we're not putting it into practice? If so, we've made a gross miscalculation. Because we are called to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, and that's going to be seen in our behavior. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his face in a mirror. Now, you've got the scene. Now, the mirrors of these days were like polished metal. It's not something that we have of the mirrors in our day where you could see pretty clearly the reflection. These are mirrors that you really had to turn and to twist and move around to get some kind of a reflection out of it. But James is saying he is a man who observes his natural face. The natural face, the Genesis, is the face of his birth. He sees the face of his birth in the mirror. He's got it, he positions it, he sees it. And his intent, you see, it takes some activity to move that metal around to see your face. But he sees it. And he walks away. Notice verse 24. He observes himself. This is intently. I mean, he's really looking at his face. And he's looking at that mirror. And he's seeing it. And he goes away. And he immediately forgets what kind of man he was. So here's the man who takes the effort to look intently into the mirror. And then sets it down and goes away and forgets about his face. I forgot what kind of a man I look like. Do I have a mustache? Do I have a beard? What's my hair look like? Maybe I don't have any hair. But he forgets. He walks away, and it's through a lack of consciously thinking about it. So in other words, when it comes to the word, this is what he does. The man comes in, he hears it, and he doesn't reflect upon it. And he walks away. He's like a man that sees himself intently in a mirror, attentively watches and sees what he needs, walks away, and then completely forgets all about it. That's the one who comes Lord's Day after Lord's Day and is simply as a spiritual auditor. You know what an auditor is? An auditor is one who simply goes to the class with absolutely no intention of doing the work. Just wants to sit in and get the information, but he doesn't want to apply it. I think there's a lot of spiritual auditors today. People running to and fro, there and here and there, listening to sermons and lectures and having no intention at all to apply it in their lives. Beloved, if that's you, you've made a gross miscalculation. Truth transforms. If you are in Jesus Christ, if you are united to Him, your faith is going to show it. Your life is going to show it. It will be a continual conformity to the image of Christ. What did Jesus do? He went around doing good to all men. He spoke the truth. He rebuked error. He was the one who proclaimed the gospel continually. It's going to be seen in how we worship the true and living God. And this is what Jesus did. He worshiped His Father. He had a life of prayer. He ministered to the disciples. He cared for those who were like lost sheep with no shepherd. Is the church seen that way today? Is it that we may have made a gross miscalculation? We have reasoned wrongly, thinking that we can come Lord's Day after Lord's Day and not apply the Word in our lives? Again, this needs to be said, right? It's not to be saved. It's not to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's not to become a sheep of His pasture. It's because you are His sheep. This is how the sheep live their lives. So, are you a forgetful hearer? Or do you reflect upon the truth? James says the distinction is, notice verse 25, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty. The look there is a stooping over. Parakoupto is the Greek term. It actually means to bend over alongside of. It has the reference of bending. Koupto means to bend. Para is alongside of. So he bends alongside of something and stoops down to see it. You know what I'm talking about. You've had grandchildren. You know what your grandchildren say to you. Hey, Grandpa, look at this. And you bend down to intently look to see what they're trying to point out to you. This is the man who looks into the perfect, the complete law of liberty. The law that brings liberty in the life of the believer. And he continues in it. You know, you think about this. This is a life of an individual who studies Scripture. He meditates upon the Word of God. Not simply to know what the Word says, but to know what it means by what it says and how then it applies to the life. Because if you don't know what it means by what it says, again, you're deceived, you've miscalculated, you don't know the truth. The truth of the Scripture is the meaning of the Scripture. These words are strung together, inspired by the Spirit of God to convey a message to us. And if you don't know what it means, it doesn't matter what you quote, you don't have the truth. It takes a life of meditation, doesn't it? It takes a life of studying Scripture. And you may not be able to do it for much each day, but we all can do it. We all can do some. And we all can move through the Scriptures progressively, understanding and growing in the knowledge of the truth as we are called to. We are to let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly so that it might inform our minds and therefore teach us how we are to live our lives. Beloved, you know that the things that are important we do. And you make time for everything that's important in your life. Everything that is important, you make time for it. Whether it's a vacation, whether it's a sporting event, your job, family outing, you make time for that. And in not making time to stoop over and look into the Word of God, what are we saying? What's the message that's being broadcast? It's that it's not important for us. If it's not important for us, we are deceiving ourselves. we've made a gross miscalculation. So James says that we need to be those people who keep on stooping over and looking into the law of God. This is the one who's not a forgetful hearer. It's not in one ear and out the other. He contemplates. He meditates. He rolls it around in his mind again and again and again, so that it becomes a very part of how he thinks, and therefore how he speaks and how he lives his life. He is not a forgetful hearer, but he is a doer of the work. That's his life, is living according to Scripture. That's what a Christian is. That's what a believer is. A believer believes the word and lives according to it. Jesus said in John 15 that he is the vine, we are the branches, and every branch in me bears good fruit. It bears the fruit, and your fruit will remain. And it keeps on bearing fruit, and he prunes at times that it would pull back so that it would produce more fruit in the life. So maybe discipline comes, maybe trials come, maybe heartaches come in the life to prune that particular branch, that it might bring forth more fruit to the glory of God. Are you a forgetful hearer, or are you a doer of the work? You see, it's going to be right here, right at the crux of it, right here. That if you've just been hearing and not doing, and if you are truly going to be a doer, you're saying to yourself, I have to get busy at living according to God's word. That's not legalism. That's holy reverence to the God who has redeemed us from all of our sin and misery, that we might reflect the image of Jesus Christ. That's what James calls us to. And how you respond to that, beloved, is telltale of what's going on in your heart. Are you one who is a builder, who hears the instructions from the Lord and you implement it? You put it into practice? You're striving, you're praying for the Lord, illumine my mind. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you? Do you see the word as a lamp under your feet and a light under your path to illumine the way that you walk so that you might glorify the Lord? And again, very simple daily living. You're living it out day by day. Somebody offends you, what do you do? Do you live according to the word, or do you according to the lust of the flesh? This is what James is saying again. Another test of true saving faith, of whether we're actively striving to be doers of the word or whether we're just spiritual auditors. If you're a spiritual auditor, I call you to repent. I call you to turn from that because you've miscalculated. You are to do what the word tells you to. It's to illumine the way you live your life. If you're a doer of the word, keep on doing. Keep on doing. This glorifies the Lord who bought you. Amen. Shall we pray?